This morning I want to start in Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6. And it says this, Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Amen? And I want to start this morning to bring this down here, because God, unto us a child has been born, okay? Unto us God gave a son, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And I find it very interesting that the shoulder, it's singular, it's not that the government shall be upon his shoulders, but the government shall be upon his shoulder, singular, because I believe that Jesus, God knew that the purpose of Christ's coming was to raise up the church to shoulder the kingdom with Christ. Amen? Amen. And so the government shall be upon his shoulder, and the intent here is that when Christ would grow up, he would disciple people before he went to the cross, who would in turn disciple people, who would disciple people, who would disciple people, and here we are today. And we have the same opportunity that we get the opportunity here to shoulder the kingdom of God and walk alongside Christ, bringing victory and destroying the works of the devil in this city. Amen? Amen. And that's what God's called us to do. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, bring it up 28 and then we'll go through it. 28, 29, there's less words. There we go. It says, "Come to me," this is Jesus speaking, "all you who labor and are heavy laden," and I'm reading it in the Amplified, so I'm going to blow up some of these words. Okay, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened." I mean, how many have felt overburdened? How many have ever felt just like there's just a weight on your shoulders? How many have felt that way? Let me see your hands. Okay, and Jesus says, "And I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls." I mean, that's good news. See, we're coming into the kingdom of God, and the purpose here is that Jesus says, "Listen, I want you to come alongside. If you come to me, I'm going to bring you ease, and I'm going to bring you rest, and I'm going to lighten your burden." Isn't that good news? And see, what I don't understand is that the world looks at Christianity because of the media and because of what the enemy has done. The spirit of the world says, you don't want to be a Christian because you're going to miss out. But I'm telling you this, the best life is the Christian life. Isn't it? And look what he says here. Jesus says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Now, how many know what a yoke is? A yoke is an instrument that would go across the necks. I wish I had a picture. I would have showed you. Two cattle, two horses, two donkeys, whatever it is. It's an instrument that goes across the neck, and it connects them together so they can walk in unity pulling a load. Okay? That's what a yoke is. And when I went to Cuba, you know, we've seen a lot of that. We see people pulling a buggy with people in it or pulling their farm equipment, and they have two oxen or they have two horses or two donkeys, and they're yoked together, pulling in unity, all right? And Jesus is saying, what I want you to do is take my yoke upon you. Let go of your burdens and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, I'm meek, and I'm humble. Jesus is going to, you know, connect you to him in the Christian walk and then bash you upside the head and be hard on you. That's not the heart of Jesus. Jesus says, "I'm gentle, I'm going to woo you, I'm going to direct you, I'm humble, and I'm going to lead you." Isn't that good news? He says, "Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest, you'll find relief and ease and refreshment and recreation, and you'll find the blessed life for your soul." I mean, that is good news. See, Jesus came in the manger not only to save us from our sins so we could spend eternity with God, but he came because he wanted us to have an abundant life. What he wanted to do was he wanted to restore the relationship that was severed in the garden. Because Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had this awesome relationship with the Heavenly Father. The Bible says they were clothed with his glory. Okay? So the light of God was all over them. So they thought they had clothes on. And the moment they sinned and the glory departed, they were like, oh my goodness, we're naked. Do you think they were stupid or something? They were kind of like, oh, I didn't realize we didn't have clothes on before we ate the apple. No, they were actually clothed with God. Isn't that awesome? And that's why the disciples, Peter walked in such a presence of God, such a glory of God, that as he walked past people, they got healed. Moses' face shone, so they had to put a cloth over it because of the glory of God. And so God said, I want to restore the relationship I had with mankind. I want to put my glory back upon their life. Adam and Eve had authority over everything. They had authority. They named the animals. They took care of the ground. Their kingdom was this earth. And then the devil comes and says, look at this little tree here. The one thing that God says you can't have, he's trying to hold out on you. The knowledge of good. If you bite this apple, I'm going to tell you what will happen. You're going to find that God's holding out and there's more for you in that apple than God has given you. Did you hear me? I don't know why I'm going this way. I'm totally off my notes. But the enemy wants to deceive us to say there's something better than what you can have. And see, Jesus didn't come just to get our life straightened out and teach us good and evil. He came because he wanted to restore relationship with the Father because it was cut off, right? And that's what he's after that. He says, behold, my yoke is not harsh, it's not hard, it's not sharp, it's not pressing, but it's comfortable, it's gracious, and it's pleasant. My yoke is easy. Isn't that good news? And so we yoke ourselves together with Christ and we begin to pull his kingdom together. And the Lord will begin to lead us, whether it's from a pulpit, whether it's a place of business, whether it's a school, in school it might be in your family, but in any avenue of life you're involved in establishing the kingdom. And you're shouldering the burden. You're carrying the burden. Amen? Amen. I'll get some water if one of the ushers can get me some water. I'd really appreciate that. And so God is calling us to be yoked together with Christ. He wants us to carry the burden, which is light. And I want to say this. If you're walking through your Christian life and you feel that you're having a lot of pressure and a lot of burden and a lot of weight upon your life, it's probably because you've unharnessed yourself and you're walking in your own direction. And I believe the Lord is wooing you to say, come on back, hook up, and let's do life together. Do you hear me this morning? The pastor of the largest church in... Thank you very much. Could you just crack the cap for me? The pastor in the largest church from Canada, or in China, thank you. What's his name? Yonggi Chow. Was asked, 750,000 people in your church. He said, you must be stressed. I mean, how do you handle the stress and the weight and the burden of that ministry? He goes, it's actually quite easy because the Lord does the work. I just show up. Isn't that awesome? He goes, I don't have stress. And I believe that we can be busy. We can be accomplishing things for God. We can accomplish things within our career. We can accomplish things in life with our family without feeling burdened and stressed. Why? Because Jesus is walking alongside us. He's pulling the load with us. We're not doing this thing by ourselves. Amen? And so God is calling us to remain in the yoke. Say, I got to remain in the yoke. The yoke here in Scripture represents the government, the authority or vision. It represents a plan or direction. And a yoke actually forces unity. See, the only way you can go your own way is to unyoke yourself and go in a different direction. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that's why it's important that you have a direction in your marriage, that you can sit down and communicate, say, we're going in this direction. And so to be unequally yoked is you have two people in a marriage, and one is saying, I'm going in this direction, the other one is saying, I'm going in this direction, and you're trying to be yoked together, but you're pulling in different ways. And so that's why counseling comes in. You know, when we do premarital counseling, we sit down to find out, are you equally yoked? Want to say, yeah, you know, I want to do this. I want to climb the Himalayan mountains, and I want to go do this, and I want to do that, and I want to go you know, party with people every weekend. I love people. I want to be around people. And the other person says, well, actually, I just want to sit home and read books. And I like to just watch movies. And I hate the nature. Well, guess what? You're unequally yoked, man. So unless you can sit down and we can build a yoke that you both agree with and can walk forward with, guess what? You're going to end up just being miserable. Amen? Because you're unequally yoked. You have different vision. You have different direction. And you can't walk in unity. Does that make sense to anyone? That's why people in marriages sometimes are so miserable, because they feel like they're tied to one another and they want to go in a different direction. And it's not going to work. Amen? And so, so you need to choose to walk in Christ's authority. I want you to say, I need to choose to walk in Christ's authority. And so in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus came and he spoke to his disciples and he said, all authority has been given to me. Okay, remember we're talking about the authority represents what? It represents the yoke. He says, all authority, say all authority, has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, you guys can stop now. Just want to make sure you're awake. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Isn't that what he said? So he said, listen, I've been given all authority, and now I'm giving it to you. Go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching people to observe everything that I taught you. And then look what he says. And he says, lo, I am with thee even until the end of the age. So when we're in ministry, okay, when we're doing something for God, we have to realize we're yoked together with Christ. Isn't that good news? He's beside us. He's walking with us. He's carrying the load. Now, the other day we were driving by the old city hall, and they do a little horse and buggy ride. How many have been on it? A few of you. So I kept seeing it go by the church, distracting me every time we're in the cafe, and I said, I got to go on that thing. So I take my kids, and we're sitting on this horse and buggy ride, and anyone knows my son Josiah, he likes to ask a lot of questions. So he was asking this guy a lot of questions who was, you know, riding the, you know, controlling the horses. The two horses were actually yoked together. And the guy told us, he said, listen, this one on the right is a little green, but this one is the leader. He said, when you yoke horses together, you need to have one that is a leader and then one that's a follower. And I thought that was very interesting. Because you can't put two green animals together because you're going to have a mess. You always have to have one that knows the ropes. He teaches the other, and then they switch, and they bring in another green one. It's okay to have a green animal, have one who's not matured and training, but you always have to have one that is. And he said, you know, this one always follows this one. He follows the lead. And he said, you can only yoke leadable animals, submissive animals. In order for us to be yoked to Christ, we have to have the same mind that he had. We have to be humble. We have to say, listen, I'm willing to obey. And then he went to say that the horse, both horses can't really see each other because they have those blinders on. You know what they're called? Those things that go like this? Blinders. I just thought there was some technical name, but he said each horse can't see each other. They have to trust each other, and they rely on the tugging. And many times we go through life, Jesus says, lo, I'm with thee, even unto the end of the age. And we say, I don't see you, Lord. I can't sense that you're with me. Where are you, Lord? But the Bible promises that, lo, he's with us, even unto the edge of the age. And what we have to be relying on is the gentle tugging of the Holy Spirit. And he leads us through life. Isn't that awesome? And sometimes if the Lord tugs a little too hard and he's doing it with love because he wants to direct us into the path of victory, we say, you know what, this is a little too much. I'm going to unharness myself. I'm going to go in my own direction. And the next thing, you're in the flesh. You're doing things in the flesh and you just feel like, oh, this is so heavy. It used to be like my feet were bathed in butter as Joel said, I could just slide through life, and it was just wonderful. And now it's like everything just seems so heavy and so hard. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And that's the time where we have to say, Lord, I didn't obey your tugging, and I want to come back into alignment because we have a job to do. Amen? Isn't that good news? You know, so I learned a lot sitting on this sleigh ride, to say the least. But everyone, and thanks to my son who asked a lot of questions because I got to hear the answers. Everyone is yoked to someone or something. You need to realize that. You say, I don't want to be yoked. I don't agree with the fact that I'm going to be yoked. But you know what? You can be yoked to a life of sin. You can be yoked and harnessed. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we'll go to that scripture. It says, stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen? You're either under the yoke of bondage of the world or the law or right and wrong, or you're under the yoke of relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. How many want the yoke of bondage? Put your hands up. Nobody. How many want the yoke of relationship with Jesus? Let me see your hand. Amen. And so we want to be yoked with the right people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I'm reading out of the Amplified here. It says this. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismatched alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them. Inconsistent with your faith, for what partnership has right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? So remember how I said there's always one animal that tends to lead. If you purposely choose to hang out with people that don't have faith and become close alliances with them, walking in a certain direction, your faith will diminish because one has to lead and one has to follow. Say that. Say, one has to lead and one has to follow. And if they're not open to your faith, guess what? You're open to theirs. Amen? And that's why Jesus said, when you enter into a house, he sent to 70 disciples. He said, when you go in, he said, say, the kingdom of God is here. And if they welcome you, stay and share the gospel. If they don't welcome you, knock the dust off your feet and say, see you later, for it's going to be better for you for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you in the day of judgment, because you've rejected the grace and the relationship and the love of the Father. Simple. And so, we need to be yoked with the right people. Now, I have friends that aren't saved. I think it's very important that we have friends that do not know the Lord yet. We have to have friends that, because we want to express the love of God, we want to share the love of God. We want to love on people, right? I mean, Peter did it, Jesus did it. Jesus sat and ate with sinners and prostitutes. The religious people hated it. But when he went home, his intimate fellowship was with the 12 men that wanted to hook up and go forward with the kingdom. And so my goal has always been, I want to find one or two people that are strong in the Lord. And I want to hang out with them because they're going to kind of help lead me the way that Christ is leading. Does that make sense? So your closest alliances should be with people that are equal in vision and love for God. Okay? Now, if you're not unequally yoked, if you're unequally yoked, somebody gets hurt and somebody gets frustrated, okay? You know, I went to three summers ago, I went down to the beach down in Picton, and they have this, they had this jumpy tower. I don't know, you go up this tower 30 feet and you jump onto this pillow, and the other person's on the other side of the pillow and it fires them up in the air. Anyone ever seen that? And they land in the water. The blob, thank you. So I went to the blob and went with my cousin. He's the same height as me, and his son, who's 6 feet as well. And I was all excited. So, you know, my cousin goes and gets on one end over there, and I start climbing the tower. I'm up at the top, and the lifeguard comes up and goes, oh. I said, what's wrong? He goes, unequal. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I said, I'm going to jump and he's going to fly 20 feet. He goes, no, you're going to jump and he's going to fly over the lake. I said, are you serious? Are you saying I'm fat? And do you know when something just hits you, you just have a revelation that it's time to go on a diet? Well, this is what happened. So I'm sitting there and I'm really, people are watching and I'm climbing down the ladder. I'm thinking, this is terrible. So he found an equal. He found another guy that was my size and I looked at him and I didn't like it. So you're saying, whatever, right? But the whole thing was he was trying to explain, you know, if you jump and you're going to hurt your cousin. I mean, he's going to be gone. Now, if he jumps and you're on the other side, he's going to bounce back into the scaffolding and break his back. And I'm sitting here thinking, humiliation. So anyway, that was my I went into fasting and prayer and dieting. And, you know, I'll tell you, I lost 30 pounds and I put it back on now. But I'm going there this summer, so it's going to just, I'll go back on a diet. But but if you're unequally yoked, somebody's going to get hurt. You hear what I'm saying? Whether it's you or the other one. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10, see, God is so concerned about you not being unequally yoked with people, not just your spouse, but unequally yoked, that he even cares about the animals. He's concerned about, he says here in Deuteronomy 22:10, he says, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. A donkey, sorry. That's King James. You cannot, because see, God was concerned. If you have a donkey and an ox pulling together, the poor donkey, he's not going to be able to keep up. The ox is going to be frustrated. The donkey has not submissive. It's going to go in a different direction. And so it's important that you have the right match. Does that make sense to anyone today? And so God is calling us to remember that he's called us to shoulder the load of the kingdom with him. That he wants us to be sensitive to his voice. He wants us to be sensitive to the little tug in our hearts when he's leading us and when he's guiding us. Everybody knows what I'm talking about here. And he wants our burden to be light. He wants our Christian life, first and foremost, to be about relationship. Not about striving to be better. Because when it's about relationship, your life will get better and holiness will become central to your life. Okay? You can also be unequally yoked, and I'm just finishing up here. You can also be unequally yoked with churches. You know, I have had people come to me and they're complaining about their church. You know, they don't lift their hands, they don't worship the way I worship, and blah, blah, blah. And I've told people this on many occasions, say, listen, why go where you're tolerated? Go where you're celebrated. They have a different vision. So for you to stay there and try to tow their little yoke, as you call it, and try to tow their mission, you're actually causing rebellion because you have a different vision. You have a bigger vision. So go find a church that you can connect with. Does that make sense? Instead of stirring the pot. Find a house where people will celebrate you instead of tolerate you. So you can be unequally yoked with your place of worship. King Saul wanted the kingdom. How many of you remember King Saul? I want to be a king. I want to rule. He was all proud, but he would not be yoked to the obedience of God's law. But David, on the other hand, he said in Psalm 119, and we're closing in just a second, Psalm 119, verse 1 to 3, look what he says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. See, they walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in whose way? In his ways. And so, what I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to encourage you guys to be equally yoked with Christ. When I just have the, maybe Bianca, if you can just come up and play something, that'd be great. To be equally yoked with Christ. To have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to be sensitive to the tugging of the Lord and the direction that God's called you to be in. Because I'm going to guarantee you this, if you're striving and you're struggling and you feel like you're carrying a lot of weight, it's not supposed to be that way. The Christian life is actually the most free life because we have a partner. His name is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we're yoked to Him. He's our wonderful counselor. We're yoked with Him and He's counseling us gently, saying, you know, son, you know, daughter, let's go this direction. You know, son, you know, daughter, you need to deal with this in your life. You have to change this in your, because I want to take you in the way of victory. I don't want you to struggle. I don't want you to carry that weight. I don't want you to deal with fear anymore. I want you to just be at total peace. I don't want your heart to be troubled. I want it to be light. Amen. So God's calling us to that place of total obedience and being equally yoked with Him, and then also equally yoked within our church and equally yoked with our relationships. Amen. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, as we close, let's stand together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. The government will be upon His shoulders, or shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen? That's good news. I remember the day I got saved, I came back to the Lord and I thought, are you kidding? I gave up this life of having the Spirit of the living God live on the inside of me to be free from sin, sickness, disease, fear, anxiety. All of this stuff lifted when I got saved. I said, I was deceived by the devil thinking that, you know what, if I became a Christian, I'd be, you know, it was a life of bondage, of rules and regulations. But yeah, I'd get to heaven, but I'd be in a straitjacket. Because that's what the devil deceives people with. Say, if you come to Christ, you're going to be in a straitjacket and you're going to be a loser. Because you know what? Many times we listen to the world system. The devil's no different than he was in the garden. He's still doing the same thing. And the Bible says in the book of Revelations, when one angel comes and ties the devil up, the whole world will look and say, this is the one that deceived the nations? The Bible says in Timothy, it says that the day is coming in the end days where good will be called evil and evil will be called good. And we watch TV and we watch the news and the world society says, you know what? It's bad to say you can't kill a child, an unborn child. It's wrong to criticize people that are living in sin. You know what I mean? Like good is bad and bad is evil. We see that happening. The Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand. And there's some of you in this place today. You have to make a decision. Am I going to believe the devil and hold out? Or am I going to come into this relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I going to receive Him and allow Him to lead me and guide me and deal with the issues of my life? I'm not going to have an altar call this morning, but what I want to do is I want us all to bow our heads right now for a moment. And if you're in this place, you say, I want to make a decision today to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the one who leads my life. I want you to lift your hand right now. We're going to pray a prayer. Just lift your hand. I see your hands. And it might be that you just want to come back to that place of walking with Him. And you feel that your burden has been just too heavy. God doesn't want it that way. Lift your hand as well. We're just going to pray a prayer of commitment. Amen. You can put your hand down. Just an act before the Lord. And what I want to do, let's pray together and let's ask the Lord to be our leader. Father, just say with me, say, Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for loving us even when we didn't even think about you. We don't want to carry our own burdens anymore. We want to be linked with you, pulling the vision that you have predestined for our lives. So I rehook today to the yoke because I'm excited about doing life with you. And I will be sensitive to your voice and I will be sensitive to your tugging. I love you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Isn't He good? Hallelujah. Amen.